जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर बन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर बन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर बन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर चतुश्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर चतुश्री भक्त सिद्धांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। रामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। गौड प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishmadev, Text 15. Yatra dharma suto raja, gada pani vruko daraha, krishnosti gandivam chapam, Surut Krishnas Tato Vipat Yatra Dharma Suto Raja Gada Pani Vruko Daraha Krishnos Trigandivam Chapam Surut Krishnas Tato Vipat Yatra Dharma Suto Raja Gada Pani Vruko Daraha Krishnos Trigandivam Chapam Surut Krishnas Tato Vipat Yatra Dharma Suto Raja Gada Pani Vruko Daraha Krishna Sri Gandhi Vamchapam Surut Krishna Tato Vipat यत्र धर्मस्तुतो राजा गदा पाणिर्वृकोदरः कृष्णो श्रीगाण्डिवं चापम् सुहृत्कृष्णः ततो विपत् यत्र धर्मस्तुतो राजा गदा पाणिर्वृकोदरः कृष्णश्रीगाण्डिवं चापम् सुहृत्कृष्ण ततो विपत्
माताजि
यत्र धर्मस्तुतो राजा गदा पाणिर्वृकोदरः कृष्णश्रीगाण्डिवं चापम् कृष्ण ततो विपत्
Anybody else?
Word by word meaning yatra, where there is dharmasutaha, the son of Dharmaraj, Raja, the king, gada panihi, with his mighty club in hand, vrukodaraha, bhima, krishnaha, arjun, astri, carrier of the weapon, gandivam, gandiva, chapam, bow, sirat, well-wisher, krishnaha, lord krishna, the personality of godhead, tataha, thereof, vipat, reverse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhishthir, the son of demigod controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna with mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Purport. As far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was the symbol of religion, and above all them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was personally concerned with their affairs as well as wishes. And yet, there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons, under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, the inevitable time. Kala is identical with Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సగణ లలితా శ్రీ శాఖాన్వితంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ దివాసది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఎట్ ద వెరీ అవుట్ సెట్ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ టు దిస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్ ఇట్స్ ఏ సచ్ ఎ జాయ్ దట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ కెన్ కాంగ్రిగేట్ అండ్ అటెండ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఆఫ్టర్ సచ్ ఎ లాంగ్ గ్యాప్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ సో యాజ్ the other day His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu said that these couple of verses starting from 12 to 18 are very very important for our spiritual life, and I'm so fortunate that I'm one of the people who can speak on one of the verses for some time. I'm so grateful. Of course, yesterday Pavaneshwar Prabhu inundated us with his knowledge, so there is hardly anything that is left to be spoken by me, but nevertheless I'll make a feeble attempt to speak something, so I need your kripa. So in this particular verse, Arjuna has been addressed as Krishna. Krishna astri gandivam. So what is the reason for calling Arjuna as Krishna? That question may crop up. That doubt came in my mind, so I want to answer that. So basically, Arjuna has many names. We know all the names. The name Arjuna itself comes from comparison with the bark of Arjuna tree. The same color he has, Krishna. Then Savyasachi is able to wield weapons with both the hands. So many other names. Dhananjaya, in whatever war he fought, he always collected wealth. So many. There are many, many names. And one of the names which is given here is Krishna. Why is that? So it is described that when Arjuna had a regular fight with Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva, being very pleased with Arjuna, gave him Pashupati Astra. And it is said that when he gave the Pashupati Astra to Arjuna, at that time Shiva called him Krishna. Because seeing Arjuna reminded Shivji of Krishna. So every time Shivji saw Arjuna, he thought of Krishna. Therefore he called him Krishna. That is my understanding of the genesis of the name Krishna. So in this particular verse and purport, both Bhishma Dev and Yudhishthira Maharaj are glorified. And why not? Both of them deserve to be. Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. And Yudhishthira is the very personification of Dharma and all virtuous qualities. So obviously, and both are devotees of Krishna. So both need to be glorified, and that glorification is there on the previous verses as well. So it's very nice. So Bhishma fought on behalf of the Kauravas. Why? स्ट्रेट फॉरवर्ड रीजन इज मैंने उनका नमक खाया है. सो इन सम वेज भीष्म फेल्ट दैट ही हैज टू फाइट एंड ही मेंट इट. ही हैड एक्चुअली वर्चुअली नर्चर्ड हस्तिनापुर यू नो थ्रोन एंड सो नेचुरली ही वुड फाइट ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ द कौरवास. सो ही फॉट ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ कौरवास एंड येट ही इज अ वंडरफुल डिवोटी, सुप्रीम डिवोटी ऑफ कृष्ण. So that's how it is. And Dharmaraj is the very emblem of you know, religiosity. All wonderful Vaishnava qualities he had in him, great devotee of the Lord. So both were wonderful devotees and they were on in opposite camps. Now it is described that when the Mahabharata war commenced, at that time the armies were astounded. Before the war started, armies were astounded when Yudhishthir Maharaj walked and went straight to Bhishma Dev. People were wondering, "Why is he going to sign some peace treaty or something? What?" But then Dharmaraj went there and he offered with love and devotion his prostrated obeisances to Dharmaraj and also to Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and others. But to Bhishma Dev, he offered his prostrated obeisances. And with great love and affection, and this virtually brought tears to the eyes of Bhishma Dev. And then so much love and respect Yudhishthira Maharaj had for Bhishma Dev, and so he felt free to ask him a question which no enemy would ask. So he asked very openly Bhishma Dev, which is the way to defeat you? How to defeat you? So actually, nobody could have defeated Bhishma Dev, but Bhishma Dev, let equally candid and equally frank, he told Yudhishthira Maharaj that if you use a lady as a front, in this case Shikhandi as a front, as a shield, and then if Arjuna shoots his arrows from behind, I can be defeated. So he lets out the secret and then he blesses Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vijayi Bhava. So Which enemy, you know, will bless the other counterpart, you know, but he blessed him, said Vijayi Bhava. So, and then similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj took blessings from others as well, Dronacharya, Kripacharya and others. And then he walked back. So this is Yudhishthira Maharaj. So very candid, you know, so very straightforward and so very principled that he didn't feel any hesitation whatsoever. But he fought. That is how the Mahabharata, so Mahabharata war was won eventually by the righteous Pandavas who believed in Dharma, and I'm not going to the details, and by the grace of Shri Krishna. But however, during the war, billions of people died. I think Pavaneshwar Prabhu gave some statistics which I don't remember, but crores of people, you know, died during Mahabharata war. And Dharmaraj, being a paradukha dukhi Vaishnava, he became greatly unhappy and greatly depressed. He virtually had a guilt complex. In our lives, many of us develop guilt complexes and they weigh heavily on our consciousness and make our life miserable. So here, Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir, was in great, great distress because he felt that he was responsible for crores of, you know, soldiers being killed, for crores of, you know, women becoming, you know, widows, so many children being converted into orphans with no protection. The women had no protection from their husband and the children had no protection also as well. So Yudhishthira Maharaj felt great unhappiness. He was very much depressed, and depression is something which is very difficult to fight. In modern society, there are so many people who, you know, are depressed, and many of them, you know, start taking sleeping pills, and many of them end their lives also. So depression is such a disease on the mental platform, and you are virtually, you know, reduced to a zero. So that's how Yudhishthira Maharaj was very, very sensitive. And he was very much depressed. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking that just to make me the emperor, so many of my kinsmen I have killed. Not that he has physically killed himself, but he felt responsible, killed. So aspiration for throne was one of my drawbacks. Then, you know, I am responsible for the death of Subhadra's son. I am responsible for the death of Draupadi's 5 sons. So he went on, you know, taking responsibility for many of the things which he had not done. But as a king, he was responsible. Yeah. So if something happens in the government, the prime minister is held responsible. Somebody somewhere in some village somewhere has done something wrong, but yet the prime minister is asked to account for it. So like that, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt accountable for so many things that had happened. And that grief of, you know, causing hurt to so many women, that was piercing his heart, and he was very, very unhappy. So then he said that we have waged a war, you know, we have waged the Mahabharata war, like dogs fighting over a piece of meat. You know, dogs fight and over a piece of meat. And similarly, we have waged a war. The piece of meat here is Hastinapur throne. So we have just fought. These are statements in Mahabharata. I am not from Bhagavatam, really. But Bhagavatam and Mahabharata both are Ved Vyasa's creation, so we respect both. So we have fought over this piece of meat, and now I am no longer interested in that. I want to throw it away. And what do I want to do? Mind you, everybody else is there, everybody is listening, all the brothers are listening, Krishna is there, Ved Vyasa is there, Devarshi Narad is there, they are all listening. And then he says that, you know, I am not interested in being the king. So the Mahabharata war has been fought, and he says, I am not interested in being the king of Hastinapur, I am not at all interested. He said this and he becomes silent. There is a lot of discussion on this, but I won't go into the details. But he becomes silent, grave and silent. So, obviously, you know, there was this caused a lot of distress to everybody who was hearing him, because in the heart of hearts, everybody wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to become Chakravarti Samrat. For him, you know, everything was done. And now he's saying, you know, I'm not interested, you know. So it's like a morsel coming right up to the mouth, you know, and then, you know, it's being thrown. That kind of a thing. So he was very depressed, very unhappy. So there were, his brothers were there. Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, they were all hearing. And all of them felt very unhappy. They said that, they quoted, you know, several Shastric things, and we won't go into the details of that. They quoted Shastra, they quoted so many other things, and said that you have to become the king. Who else can become the king? You are the only one who can become the king. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, silent and grave, no response whatsoever. Then after the brothers, you know, made their feeble attempt to convince him, then Panchali, Draupadi, she tried to break his melancholy. But that melancholy was not broken. He was still, you know, very melancholy. So what does one do? Thereafter, Ved Vyas, you know, and Devarshi Narad, both of them, one by one, you know, also spoke at length, you know, and tried to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj. Not convinced. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, himself tried to, you know, explain to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But now, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he was the one who actually drove away the depression of Arjuna during the Mahabharata war. Just when the war was about to start, Arjuna went into depression. It seems to be a family trait. So he went into depression. And he, having gone into depression, he said that, no, I don't want to fight anymore. And then Lord Krishna spoke the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And after the Bhagavad Gita was spoken at great length, Arjuna felt completely satisfied. His depression was gone. Stito asmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava, he says, he assures Krishna. So Krishna, who successfully blew away the gloom and despondency and melancholy of Arjuna, was not successful in his effort with the Yudhishthira Maharaj. So what's the reason for that? The reason for this is that Krishna did not want to be the one to remove his despondency. He wanted the glorification of his dear devotee Bhishma Dev, who was on the opposite camp. He wanted Bhishma Dev to be the one who should convince Yudhishthira Maharaj that, you know, you should give up your despondency. So with that intention in his mind, Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj and said that, you know, Bhishma Dev is lying on the battlefield for the last so many days, and he is waiting for the star to go into the Uttarayana phase, and in Uttarayana he will give up his body. He is lying on the battlefield, and actually it is described that when Bhishma Dev was fighting the war, when he was in that state, or they used the very method which he had recommended. They used Shikhandi, who was actually, you call it eunuch. So the eunuch, lady turned into man and all kind of thing. And he was brought, otherwise defeating Bhishma was out of question. And this method was suggested by Bhishma Dev himself. So he was brought, and then using Shikhandi as a front, you know, as a, then Arjuna from behind Shikhandi, you know, he shot so many arrows at Bhishma Dev, and it is described in Mahabharata that such was the skill of Arjuna that every little, you know, part, every little, even we can call it square millimeter or square centimeter or square millimeter of Bhishma Dev's body was pierced with arrows, and he fell down. And as Pavaneshwar Prabhu described, the Sharasaya was made from the arrows which had pierced his body, and he fell down on the battlefield. And we can, one cannot imagine how much pain he must have undergone and how much, you know, blood must have flowed out of his body. We can't even envisage it. When we get a small, you know, prick, we become so miserable. Now here, every little bit of Bhishma Dev's skin has been pierced with arrows, and we're lying down. But Bhishma Dev was complaining. He was thinking that, I have paid for my sins, you know. I associated with wrong people. I associated with Duryodhana, and I deserve what I have got. So this is the greatness of Mahajan. He is a Mahajan after all. He accepted his fate very willingly. He said that whatever has happened. So he accepted it. He took it in his stride, as they say. He took it in his stride. And he was waiting anxiously for the sun to move to Uttarayan, so that he could give up his body. That was the phase. It is said, I don't know, I'm not good in statistics, but something like 51 nights, you know, he was there, or maybe more, I may be wrong. So he was there on the Sharashaya, lying there, waiting for that moment when the sun would go to Uttarayan, and there he could give up his life. Now, Bhishma Dev could have given up his life any time that he wanted, because he was Ichha Marani. This benediction he had got from his father, Shantanu, who became very happy when Bhishma Dev arranged for father's marriage with Matsyaganda, you know, that lady. So this way he was very, very happy, and he gave the blessing. So Bhishmadev was Ichha Marani. He could die whenever he wanted. You could hurt him, you could wound him, but you couldn't want his death unless he wanted it. So that way he was waiting anxiously. Now Krishna, who loved Bhishmadev, he was on the opposite camp. So he suggested to Yudhishthir Maharaj that Bhishmadev will be most pleased if all of you brothers go and meet him on the battlefield. And when you go and meet him, you should be in your royal, you know, attire, wearing all royal clothes and nice mukut and all that. And that will make him very happy, because in the heart of his heart, Bhishmadev always wanted Yudhishthir Maharaj to occupy the throne of Hastinapura. So this is one way of making happy, and Krishna is suggesting this. Krishna is so compassionate towards his devotee. He knows what is in the heart of Bhishmadev and suggests that this is the way you can do it. And to be able to go in, get into the royal attire, as Pavaneshwar Prabhu described, he had to be coronated, and he was coronated. That is how he became the king of Hastinapur. And all of them, won't go into the details, all of them, you know, got into a chariot, and all of them went to the place where Bhishmadev was lying, waiting patiently. And when these, when on the first day, the Pandava brothers went and met Bhishmadev, they offered their obeisances, and when they offered their obeisances, Krishna, who is the Lord and Master of all the three worlds, he also offered obeisances to Bhishmadev. So all of them offered obeisance to Bhishmadev. And they all surrounded Bhishmadev, and they were sitting surrounded. So when Bhishmadev was so surrounded by everyone, Krishna addressed Bhishmadev. He said to Bhishmadev that, you know, you please, you know, remove the depression from Yudhishthir's heart. He's so unhappy, he's so miserable. Please, somehow or other, drive away his depression. And then you can also educate him on Raja Dharma. Hmm? What is Dharma? And the way he should rule Hastinapur. You please instruct him. Now, Bhishmadev, first of all, he's very joyful that Lord Krishna, his worshipable Lord, is there and telling him. He's very happy with that. So, but then what happens is that Bhishmadev says, "Oh Lord, in your presence, how can I, you know, preach to Yudhishthir in your presence? Does a disciple talk in presence of his guru?" Very intelligent person. He says, I do not do it. And then he says, Keshav, Lord Krishna, this is in Mahabharata, not in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that, you know, I am feeling weak. I am feeling very weak. I feel that my energy is, you know, getting depleted. I also feel that my mind is clouded with so many thoughts and so many things. With all these deficiencies, I do not think, you know, I will be able to preach to Yudhishthir. So this way he expresses difficulties. Then Krishna is very happy with the way Bhishma has put it. Can a disciple teach in the presence of Guru? He's very happy. And then he says, I'll give you a boon. He says that from this moment onwards, you know, now, you will be free from hunger, free from thirst. You will be free from, you know, all kinds of pain. You will be free, you know, of all kinds of bewilderment. And mentally, you will be very stable. And I assure you that you will be able to satisfy Yudhishthira Maharaj and answer all his questions. Having said this, he gives that benediction to Bhishmadev, and Bhishmadev is, though you know he's lying on a bed of arrows, he has his mental faculties become very clear, and he is now in a position to teach Yudhishthira Maharaj about all the dharmas and all that. That description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. It will be discussed later on by some other person. So that there. So now this is the situation now that is there. So when that happens, when that assurance is given, Bhishmadev is happy and they go. They go back and say, from tomorrow onwards, you know, you please start instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is described, and Pavaneshwara Prabhu also described, that from all corners of the universe, so many sages appeared there. Just as it happened during Parikshit Maharaj, you know, happened in case of Parikshit Maharaj. All the sages, as they say, who is who in the ascetic world, all of them appeared there. Parvat Muni, all their names are there. Maybe I don't remember. So all the sages, they all assembled one by one, including Narad Muni, including Vyas Dev. Everybody appeared there. Why? They came to know that now onwards, you know, Bhishmadev is going to instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj, and those instructions will be useful to humanity. And it is indeed so. So there are lot of discussions on what Bhishma Dev spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj. We are not going into it. It is not my subject. So that took place. So all of them, you know, one by one. So the Pandavas, all five of them, they sat silently and with great love and respect for Bhishmadev. And as they were seeing Bhishmadev, it is described that tears were, you know, flowing from their eyes out of affection for Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev also was himself overwhelmed with love for his grandsons. So, after all, he was Pitamaha. He was the one who had brought them from the forest to Hastinapur. He was the one who had nurtured them with help of with the Vidura also. So, he was the one. So, he had a lot of love. So, though he had fought on the opposite side, his love for Pandavas had never diminished. It was always there. It was on the ascendance all the time. So, that is how it was. So, seeing the Bhishmadev was also... So, he said tearfully, "Oh, my dear son Yudhishthir," now we come to the verses which have been described at great length by His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu and Pavaneshwara Prabhu and so many other wonderful speakers. So I'll summarize it in a brief. So he says that, "Oh, my dear son Yudhishthir, what terrible sufferings and injustice you good souls have suffered for being sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under these tribulations. Yet you are protected by the Brahmanas, by God, and by religion." This is the summary of the 12th verse, which was discussed very nicely by other devotees. And then he said, "In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time. Sarva kala krutam manne," that is the word. Sarva kala krutam manne, under whose control everyone in every planet is carries, he's influenced by everyone. Just as he says that the clouds are carried by the wind, vayor eva ghanavali. So that way, then Srila Prabhupada writes, he purports, very briefly I will discuss, "Inevitable time, Kala controls even the action of air and other elements. So Kala is so powerful. Everything is controlled by the supreme time. These are all Prabhupada's statement. A forceful time, a forceful representation of the Lord within the material world. So Kala is a forceful representation of Lord Krishna himself. So Lord Krishna himself is being represented by Kala. Thus, Yudhishthir should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. So Bhishma Dev is able to lay emphasis on Kala, because one could tend to think, if Lord Krishna is there, as is discussed in today's verse, Lord Krishna himself is present, then why, you know, so many disasters are taking place? So he's giving solace by saying that, you know, his representation, you know, Kala is doing this. So in the purport of today's verse, Prabhupada comments, I'll read from the purport itself. I'll read, please hear attentively. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. So Srila Prabhupada, in his powerful purport, list all these as being there, and only because of Kala that the inevitable, you know, disasters one after other took place in the life of Pandavas. So he writes, Kala is identical with Lord himself. Lord himself. And therefore, the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable action of the Lord himself. There is nothing to be lamented when matter is beyond the control of human being. It is true. So when certain things happen in our life which are beyond our control, which are irreparable, a devotee says that, Lord, thy will be done. Let things happen as you want. I'm not in control. Nobody's in control. You are in control. So here, that feeling of, you know, surrender that comes. So beyond the control of man. So how powerful is time, Kala? In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Kalaha kalayatam aham. So he says in the 10.30, Kalaha kalayatam aham. Says, among the subduers, I am Kala. Now, the history tells us that great bodybuilders, wrestlers, sportsmen, dictators like Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and so many others, Alexander the Great, he began. People were so afraid of all these personalities. So, and sportsmen, the greatest of sportsmen, as per my understanding, because I'm not an expert in this, was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali. He was a boxing champ. And he used to say that, I'm the greatest. He used to proclaim, I'm the greatest. But soon, you know, he was overwhelmed by Parkinson's disease. Krishna sent, you know, Parkinson's disease. And then he became so feeble that during Olympic he was not even able to carry, you know, the mashal, you know, that was there. So we can be reduced to a zero in an instant. From hero to zero, the transition takes place instantaneously if the Lord wants it. Or if Kala wants it, Lord acting through Kala wants it, it can happen instantaneously. So there's no need for anyone to be proud of anything, his achievements, his situation in life. We should at all times be humble, because we could be reduced to zero in no time whatsoever. That we learn from this. Kalaha kalayatam aham. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, Kalaha asmi lokashayakrit pravruddho lokan samahartum iha pravruttaha. So this is in the 11th chapter. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people with the exception of you Pandavas. All soldiers on both sides will be destroyed. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. So this way, Krishna in the form of Kala, he can reduce everyone to zero. He does it to everyone. So, what does this mean? What it means is that Krishna in the form of Kala sanctions certain events of destruction. He sanctions certain events of destruction. So there is a beautiful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I won't read the verse because I think I'll be short of time. But it in the 11th canto, there is a description. It says that the once, you know, sages like Vishwamitra, Asita, Karnama, Durvasa, Bhrugu, Angirasa, Kashyapa, Vamadeva, Atri, Vasishta, Naradadaya, and other sages. So again, the congregation of who is who in the Israel, they all congregated in Dwarka in Vasudeva's house. They all congregated and they performed some rituals and they performed some activity rituals that awarded abundant pious results and which were supposed to bring great happiness and take away the sins of the Kali Yuga for the whole world by merely being recounted, just by remembering. It was such was the potency of the rituals that all these, you know, high mighty rishis performed. So at that time it is described, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavat, that at that time Lord Krishna was staying in Vasudev's house as Kalatmana. This is word from the Bhagavatam, Kalatmana, time personified. Repeatedly he respectfully sent all the sages at the confluence of to the holy place called Pindaraka. Now, so all the sages who did those rituals which were supposed to bring prosperity to people, they all did it, and then all of them Sri Krishna very graciously arranged for them to go to the holy place Pindaraka. So when they assembled at the sages assembled at Pindaraka, believing them to be, you know, ordinary people, that means, you know, judging them from material standards, the Yadu Kumaras, that means sons of, you know, Krishna's own relatives, sons of the Yadu Kumaras, they did something condemnable. They did parihasa of all these sages. So what they did, they Samba was the son of whose son was he? Jambavati, son of Jambavati. So they dressed him as a pregnant lady. You know, they tied lot of saris around. He is a very handsome looking person. They tried lot of They dressed him as a pregnant woman. And they all the sages, imagine, all sages have gathered together, and these Yadukumaras wanting to indulge in some highly materialistic and mischievous activity, they go to the sages and say that we have brought this pregnant lady to you. It is actually Samba dressed as the pregnant lady, brought to you. Will you please tell us whether this lady will give birth to a boy or a girl? Now, this is Parihasa at its worst. So the sages became furious and they cursed all the Yadu boys. In fact, the Yadu dynasty itself, they cursed. They said that there is no way, you'll escape. The entire, this girl, pregnant girl, so-called pregnant girl, inverted commas, will give birth to an iron, club. And that iron club will be the cause of destruction of the Yadu dynasty itself. That is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is discussed in detail. I won't go into the details. So this was the curse. Now, the question arises, is that at that time when this happened, Lord Krishna was not there. But Lord Krishna knows everything. There is nothing that he doesn't know. He knows present, past and future, everything. He came to know, and it is described, there are verses to that extent which I won't discuss. It is described that when this happened, a question may be asked, that Lord Krishna is the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam, he is the cause of all causes. So he knew what was going to transpire also. Then why did he not neutralize the curse? If he wanted, he could have cross kar sakte the, nahi chalo, it's not empty. But no, he allowed the curse to take effect. He allowed the curse to take effect. And that was the, that is how that Musal Leela, took place. That is described in Srimad Bhagavatam in great detail. So the Yadu princes, Yadu princes, they all fought with each other and with iron, rods, and killed each other. So entire Yadu dynasty was finished. So the curse of the sages came true. It happened. So why is it that Krishna allowed this curse to take effect? This question may arise in one's mind. It is explained that Krishna wanted it to take place. Now, if we go back into Mahabharata, we can understand when the Mahabharata war got over, then the Pandava brothers, they came to meet, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. They were the only two left, all sons killed, 100 sons gone. They were desolate with grief. So Krishna along with Pandavas, they come to meet Draupadi. Everybody comes to meet, and a lot of discussion is there about who said what. We won't go into that details also. So all of them come and meet. So Dhritarashtra is happy that all they have come, but when it comes to Bhima, he wants to crush him to death. So that is prevented by Lord Krishna. Won't go into that pastime. So that is prevented. So then what happens is that Gandhari, they come and meet. It is described that Gandhari had actually used all her potency, in making Duryodhana's body, steel-like before the Mahabharata war. But still some potency was left. So Yudhishthira Maharaj did not try to come in presence of Gandhari, and he covered himself thoroughly so that in case her eyes, fall on any part of his body, it will be burnt. So, but it is said that Gandhari is, you know, that she was using that mask. Incidentally, she was the first one who used mask. So the mark, that mask, through that mask, there was a little opening. It fell on Yudhishthira's toe and that got scarred. That was Gandhari's potency. Now Gandhari took, she knew that her sons are evil. She knew that her sons are going to be killed. But yet a mother's heart bleeds for sons. So she was very unhappy. So when Krishna came to pacify her, she cursed Krishna. She said that just as, you know, you have allowed brothers to fight with one another in this Mahabharata war, similarly, 36 years from now, your kinsmen, you know, the Vrishnis and Yadavas will fight with one another, with and the entire dynasty will be. So, how did Krishna take it? He took it with great grace. He thanked Gandhari. He said, thank you. You have made my job easy. Why did he say that? Because Krishna, before going back home to his own abode, he wanted the powerful and belligerent Vrishnis and Yadavas to be destroyed. Now, as we know, that all these people had descended to assist in the Leela of Krishna. They had descended and they had given up their service and descended. So Krishna wanted all these powerful Vrishnis and Yadavas to be killed before he departed for his own abode. He wanted that to happen. And that time had now arrived, which Gandhari had, you know, cursed 36 years later. That time had arrived. And therefore, Krishna allowed the curse to take effect, and the curse did take effect, and the entire Yadu dynasty was finished according to Krishna's desire. So whatever the Lord wants, that does happen. It simply happens. Now, making a slight detour from what I have been talking, so war is one thing in which, you know, crores of people died, Mahabharata war. When wars are fought, thousands of people die. Even in this Kali Yuga, whatever wars have taken place, they have taken heavy toll of people. So many people die in war. There are so many war widows, war orphans. It's a miserable existence. But wars need not be the only cause, you know. The Kala, Krishna, in the form of Kala, can give certain diseases which will kill just as if war has taken place. So, their medical history records that there was, once upon a time, there was plague, you know, there was a plague which killed people. Then there are so many other diseases which killed people. Tuberculosis is one. So many, I can keep on going. I want to say that before, you know, all of them now, we have passed through COVID-19 phase and its, you know, associated diseases as well. They have taken heavy toll. Many people have died. We have ourselves in ISKCON lost some wonderful leaders to COVID. It has happened. So it need not always be fought with, you know, war or, you know, Sten guns or, you know, bombs. That need not be the only cause for death. Death can come. Kala can operate through any way. So, I'd like to give a personal example. When I was 3 or 4 years old, we were living in Belgaum, in Ganachar Gully, you know. And at that time, it was a fairly big flat. My father was in government service, a big flat. And many guests used to come. Once it so happened that many guests came, and a baby in arms, you know, a child in arms, got typhoid. Until chloromycetin was discovered, called chloramphenicol, I don't want to go into chemistry, but it was discovered, typhoid was a killer disease. So in 1943-44, there used to be more than 50-60% fatalities in every typhoid case. So when this family moved in, first that babe in arms got typhoid, then, you know, that child's mother got it, then, you know, child's sister got it, then my sister got it, and all these, you know, were nursed back to good health by my mother. No, my mother nursed all of them back to good health. So, and then she got it, and she succumbed. She died. So when I was 3-4 years old, my mother died due to typhoid. And this happened in 43-44. And believe it or not, the chloromycetin or chloramphenicol was discovered in 1946. And believe it or not, when I joined the University of Mumbai in chemistry department, the very first topic which I had to teach was chemistry of chloromycetin. So every time I taught it, I would remember that if only chloromycetin had been discovered, you know, 3 years earlier, my mother would have been alive today. So disease can manifest itself in various ways, and it's there for everyone. So diseases are there. So we have to take it in our side, and there is a. On a somber note, there is a Bollywood song on Kala. I'll just sing a few lines because I don't want to sing the whole song. Kal ka pahiya ghume bhaiya lakatar insaan chale leke chale barat kabhi tu kabhi bina saman chale Ram Krishna Hari राम कृष्ण हरि. सो काल का पहिया घूमे भैया, काल का पहिया, यू नो द व्हील ऑफ यू नो काल कीप्स ऑन रोटेटिंग. समटाइम्स यू नो वी सी दैट ए पर्सन इज डेड एंड इज बीइंग कैरिड टू द स्मशान घाट, एंड एट द सेम टाइम यू नो लिटल अवे देयर इज ए बारात, यू नो. सो दिस थिंग्स कीप हैपनिंग. The wheel of time, everything can happen. This keeps happening. So this is one thing I wanted to sing. And then again, on the final note, I would like to narrate one pastime from Mahabharat, which I read in Kalyan magazine years ago, which I remember because it was very graphic detail. Once it so happened, now Yudhishthira Maharaj is Chakravarti Samrat, and once, you know, a mendicant Brahmin came to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. He came to meet Yudhishthira Maharaj, and when he came to meet him, Yudhishthira Maharaj was really busy, vyasta, really vyasta, completely busy. So he told that Brahmana that I'm busy, you come tomorrow. I'll give you whatever you want, I'll give you tomorrow. You come tomorrow. So the Brahmana had no choice. He left. He went to. So as he was going, Bhima was there. So Bhima was there. So what did Bhimsen do? There was outside the entrance to the royal hall, there was a nagara. He took that nagara and started playing on the nagara loudly. And then he asked the musicians, you know, to play, you know, auspicious music, Shainai and other things. Play music. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, bewildered. He said, what is happening? At this time of the day, Bhima is, you know, playing. So he called soldiers, asked him, sevaks, and called him. What is happening? So said that Bhima, you know, is playing himself, playing the drum. And, you know, he had asked the musicians, you know, to play auspicious music. So Bhima was called. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhima, what is going on? He said that, Bhaiya, no, you have conquered Kala, at least for one day. So he says that, whatever comes out of your mouth is nothing but gospel truth. You know, whatever comes out of your mouth is truth. Now since you have said that you have called the Brahmana tomorrow, it means that at least for one day, You have conquered Kala. Therefore, we are celebrating. So Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately realized that what he had done was wrong. And he told Bhima, call that Brahmana just now. So any auspicious thought or any auspicious activity that we want to plan should be done here and now. Kal kare so aaj, aaj kare so ab. That is the formula. So that Brahmana was called back by Bhima, and that bar Brahmana came, and Yudhishthira Maharaj satisfied all his desires. So we normally think that Bhimsen is only meant for gada fight and for looking after the needs of the belly. No. He very subtle way he knew the philosophy of everything, and he could correct his elder brother Dharmaraj. So with this parting story, I'd like to conclude my presentation. Thank you all very much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. Hare Krishna.